Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. At the beginning of 2014, the Lord said to me, "The church must this year don glory." He had given me a revelation of the glory many years ago. And we're going to be playing for you now from CDs made all those many years ago of that message he gave me.
Some few years back, there came across my path John G. Lake's daughter. How many of you know the ministry of John G. Lake? It was around the turn of the century. Greatly used in South Africa. We have some of his books back on our table, some that you may not have been able to find because we helped get some of those Adventures in God in print, because John Lake's daughter brought us some unpublished sermons of her father. I think God had to keep them hidden until this day because the church couldn't have taken some of that. But she brought also John Lake. This may quicken to your memory who he is. He's the man in South Africa who the bubonic plague struck, and people were dying of the bubonic plague, and he would go in, he and his partner, and bury the dead. She told me that he said he had to dig mass graves and put 30 bodies in it at once sometimes. And nobody would go minister to the people or get... He'd have to go in, she said, and take a little sick, a dead child out of bed with its sick brother or sister and bury it. Come back later and get the brother or sister. It was that kind of a situation. People were afraid to bury the dead. But he and his partner went in because they knew something about the life of God manifested in their lives. And they knew they were not going to die of the plague. When the British hospital ships finally made their way to inland to where they were with their supplies, they said, "You must take our preventatives." He said, "I don't need your preventatives." They said, "Well, why?" He was a scientist, Dr. Lake was. He said, "Well, let me show you something. Take this froth from their mouth. They're dying of a bloody froth at the mouth. Put it under the microscope." They did. Of course, they could see it just working with all those germs, I call them. I'm not a scientist. Dr. Lake said, "Now put some of that froth in my hand." He did. Put it under the microscope. All of that germ activity ceased. They said, "What is that?" He said, "That, sirs, is the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, which has set me free from the law of sin and death." Now, this is a personal letter. She's brought us a lot of letters, and I really need to get another copy of it. This is not my main copy. This is the one I've been carrying since she gave it to me. So good. It has several pages. I'm just going to read you the first one. There was a great revival on in another country at this time. I'm not going to tell you what it was. You figure out who he's talking about. And the man began to preach at the head of that revival that Jesus was coming in 1914. Named a date. Really, it stopped that revival, and the man's ministry never really was heard of after that. But he named a date Jesus was coming, and he was such a powerful voice in the earth that a lot of people believed him. An elderly gentleman told me, "We believed it here in America because of that, the prowess of that man. And when that day in 1914 came, we all gathered at the church and we sat on the church pews and we shook thinking that Jesus was actually coming that day. And we were frightened." Jesus didn't come that day. Now, this is a letter Dr. Lake wrote to someone before that day. And listen to what he says to them. "So-and-so is proclaiming that Jesus is coming in 1914. But every man and woman in living union with him and who is at all corresponding with the Word of God is assured in advance that Jesus will not, cannot come in 1914. And then he gives the reasons why. He started to write about Israel, a lot of prophecy being fulfilled, but he scratched that all out. And he put forth one reason why. Jesus will not, cannot come in 1914 for the very fact that the particular message that the quickened, unified, and Holy Ghost-empowered body, which is his church, must give to the world before Jesus comes has not been given. Indeed, those who are proclaiming loudest this immediate appearing are not apparently conscious of what the real kingdom message is, or that the glory of the latter house or the church of the last days is to be greater than the glory of the former house. His entire argument was based on that, and that is scripture. We'll come to that today. He knew that the glory of the latter house, the Bible calls it, the church of the last days, would be greater than the glory of the former. And he knew that that church sitting around on pews half scared Jesus was going to come wasn't the glorious church. Haggai chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 3 to save time. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? God knew what they were thinking. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joshadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. The Lord said, I know how you're feeling about this, but be strong. Come on. Get to work now. See, it wasn't God's original plan, this house 2A, but he went to 2B. We're going to rebuild this temple. Phase 2 of the reentry of the glory is going to go on now. Be strong. Come on. I'm with you. And then he gives them a thus saith the Lord. He gives them a word of prophecy about the future. And he signs it with thus saith the Lord several times and gives it emphasis. Verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, in other words, in the future, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. See, not just Israel. He's looking in the future. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. If you have a messianic promise Bible with little stars by all the promises of Jesus coming in the Old Testament, you'll have a star by this verse. You could put a capital D on desire because this is talking about Jesus. He's giving them a peep into the future to give them hope and faith to go on. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. What house? The house the desire of all nations is going to build. He's saying to them, come on, pick up the work here. You're living in the earth doing your work, earth walk at this time. This is what's going on now. Pick up phase 2B. Do your job. But he's telling them, this isn't as far as we're going, folks. God's saying, I'm going on. Down there in the future, one will come who's the desire of all nations. He will build me a house. I will fill that house with my glory. And I will shake the world. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Stand up. No longer limited to a house on a hill, but now the very presence of God is indwelling a living, moving, walking, talking temple. We're not our own. We don't really have the right to choose our own little lives. Our very express purpose is the habitation of the Most High God and His manifestation of His glory to the earth. Glory to God. And we're not full yet of the manifested presence of God. I can tell you that right now, because we can't stand it. God has had to keep that glory turned down low. Because if it would have manifested in our church services in times past, somebody sitting over here been so nasty and mean to someone over here, it would have destroyed them. And God had to withhold the degree of that presence of His glory, just like He had to keep from grabbing at them. But we've got to quit it. And don't miss Friday. God's given me something brand new, and I want to deliver it to you. When He told me to minister on the glorious church, He said, you're going to have to lay that background again. Though I've been preaching on this for years, because you're going to have to lay that background for them to see this. Hallelujah. Now, say after me, I am the temple of the living God. God dwells in me. God walks in me. Where I walk, God walks. When I talk, God can talk. I am the temple of the living God. I will be filled with the glory of the Lord.
With the glory of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim again, and you've been hearing a classic message that came many years ago of a revelation of the glory of God. We do have this series from those days on a CD in a 5-CD package that we will be glad to send you for $20. Just call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and request the classic A Glorious Church.